we are eating up the above ground supply. I would say slowly but surely at a moderate rate right now. All right, welcome everyone. Yours truly, David Morgan, here on April 1st. This will not be an April Fool's joke, but maybe there'll be something in this presentation we can make a joke about. So we'll get started here. Take with a grain of salt. Forward-looking statements may not come true. You agree you will not be held liable. So ask me anything, what's coming for gold, silver, and a global economy. Now, I've done a fair amount of slides here, a lot of prep, and I'm going to go through this pretty quickly. I may not get through all seven or eight. I think it's seven, depending on how many questions come in. But I want to take a couple of minutes here just to kind of take the vision of what we do here on the paid service, on the premium service. So our vision for ourselves and you are to become financially secure no matter what's happening. It's a desire to not only have stability, but it's sovereignty, clarity, and most importantly, freedom. So I want you to be financially secure regardless of economic conditions, and to feel consistently supported in your life financially without fear of scarcity or stress about money. And to build and sustain wealth reflects an internal alignment as well as an external, meaning that we'll provide you the external things, but there are guidelines. Follow the guidelines, most people are pretty happy. People that kind of go outside the rails and decide that the certain speculative silver stock that I like is something to bet the farm on, which is not what we teach. We teach the opposite, bet money you can afford to lose on those type of things. Sometimes they're angry at me. Sometimes they're angry at themselves. Sometimes they're angry at both. Sometimes it works, but not always. And then there's the question of why, you know, why do you want to be financially secure regardless of the economy? Why do you feel that kind of stability and confidence is necessary for you? Why do you show up here? You know, why did you take your time, your most valuable commodity, to spend it with me and the presentation today? Do you have anxiety about money? And do you want to relieve it? And do you want to live from a place of freedom and free expression where you're truly your own person, your own being, you can more or less do your own thing? So with that being said, let's go ahead and move on in the presentation. I'm going to go through these fast. So the coming financial reset, how to position your wealth before it's too late. Global debt levels and central bank policies are obviously showing a monetary shift. We hear about CBDCs all the time from many people, from the WEF itself, World Economic Forum, from Mark Carney, you name it, from the Fed chairman. So the role of gold, silver, and commodities in wealth preservation is critical during the coming devaluation, because we're shifting from paper wealth, meaning stocks and bonds, into actual wealth as commodities. And the highest tier of the commodity sector, of course, are gold and silver. Central banks' digital currencies could change everything. What should you do now? If you haven't already, you should have some physical precious metals. So gold's well over 3,000 now, 3,100. Will it correct or surge to 5,000? There will be some corrections along the way. No one can guarantee it's going to 5,000. Many in my peer group think it's going to 10,000 or even higher. I say, well, let's get to 4,000 first. 5,000 is a number I've thrown out there a few times. I think it certainly can achieve that under conditions we now see. But no one knows more than the market itself. What central bank gold buying is telling us about the future fiat currency is that they're going away. I mean, we're already in a digital system, basically. Most people use Apple Pay or their debit card or credit card or BMO or some type of digital payment system. President Trump announced that all government payments, Social Security on down, are going to be done electronically, with very few exceptions. And how much gold should investors own in today's market? Obviously, this is guidance. It's not written in stone. It's up to you to decide. But many financial planners, if you go to one or you go online, they'll tell you you should have like 3 to 6 months worth of cash set aside. So if you lost your job, you could live for 6 months, or want to change jobs and start a business, you have 6 months buffer, that type of thing. So whatever you need on a monthly basis, let's say it's $3,100 per month, then you would need 6 months worth of gold, which would be 6 ounces. So if you need, you know, 31,000 a month, and not needing a lot more, but so that's how you figure it out. And I would, of course, say you should have both gold and silver, but if you want to do gold only, you could use that formula. Silver is undervalued. Gold-silver ratio is around 90 right now, which is hard to believe, but it is what it is. It could be the trade of the decade. The reason being is that we are eating up the above-ground supply. I wouldn't say slowly, but surely, at a moderate rate right now. But what could change is industrial demand keeps increasing. We know the historic gold-silver ratio on an average basis, depending when you start the starting line. You start from the 1300s, it's probably in the 30 range or maybe less, 25. You start over the last 100 years, it's probably closer to 50. I haven't done the arithmetic. But I think nearer-term data is more important than data that's older and older and older. So we want to look at the last 100 years or 50 years or 20 years. And in this historic bull market, the lowest it's been so far is 33 to 1. So I think 30 to 1 is a possibility. Physical enduring mining stocks. Right now, you're far better off buying mining stocks, but I want to be consistent. I've always advocated to have the real metal first before you go into the equity side. But right now, the value is truly in the equity side of the market. Some are, you know, continue to struggle. These are ones undercapitalized, usually on the exploration side. Ones that are well capitalized, you're good producers, have big margins, are making money. Those are out of our six, I think, in the top tier. Three are making new highs or have made new highs recently. There's lots to look for in How to Choose a Gold and Silver Company. That's in the book, The Silver Manifesto. It's available online. You get the PDF. We don't have the hard copy anymore. Which regions are best and worst opportunities in 2025 for silver? It's Mexico and South America. And you can really type that online and find out which jurisdictions. We stayed out of South Africa this whole time. Last bull market in the 70s and up to January 21st, 1980. Really, the South Africans were the place to be, but not so this time around. Death of the U.S. dollar, what happens? We've got the BRICS exposure. The world shifting away from the petrodollar, as we know. And investors need to hedge, just like the central banks. Next big crisis, Black Swan event. Commercial real estate is really in a mess, but you don't hear much about it. But many large or medium-sized banks have huge losses on their books that they're not marking them to market, but they are underwater. Some of these properties are being sold for pennies on the dollar, and it has not been resolved yet. Gold and silver, of course, especially gold, perform well in times of uncertainty, and we are certainly there now. Where to store wealth safely in this era? Are banks still safe? Some are. Actually, the money center banks, which I'm not that favorable to, are probably the safest. As I've said many times, this is your first time listening to a lecture from me, then so be it. But most of you probably heard me many times. And when you deposit your money in their bank, you are an unsecured creditor, which means once you give it to them, at law, it's their money. If the bank fails, you will not get your money back immediately. You will become, as an unsecured creditor, a shareholder in that business. And you will get stock in that business. And that stock at some point could be sold. When that happened in Cyprus, people got 5 cents on the dollar. Best place to store physical metals and alternative assets. There's ways to do it at home. You can Google or do a search engine. Safe places to hide gold near my home. If you're interested in storing in size or even a small amount, send an email to support@themorganreport.com. Send an email to support@themorganreport.com. And in the subject line, put store or storage, and I'll send you a personal email reply on who I use and how to get involved if you want. There's no obligation. And then the last thing is, my pitch to what you get as a paid member. First thing you'll get is you'll get a one-on-one session with me. It won't be one of my team. It'll be, I'll tell you where we are positioned currently in the metals and mining sector. Some of our uraniums are still up. Got a tech company we like. We've got the majors that are doing well. Some mid-tiers, some junior producers. It's, of course, some speculations. Again, I'll tell you, if you want to buy and sell and store or just buy and sell, probably the best place you've never heard of. You have two questions per month, and you're guaranteed to get an answer from our team. Not always the answer you want, but we will give you an answer. Usually it's an answer you want. And if you're a member, the consultation rate gets cut in half. It is a risk-free, so you can come in and pay and get the consultation and go about your merry business, and you would have a month or two to decide, well, I really don't want it. It's not for me. And we'll part friends, and you still got the consultation. You still got some guidance, still got probably a little more knowledge than when you started. And that's how it's done. So that's pretty much it as far as the canned presentation is concerned. And I'm ready for some questions. So let me go to WhatsApp. So I got a long one on the first question. And let me see if I can put this over here and look at the camera at the same time. Question one, I'm concerned about the dollar being replaced by either digital stable coin or CBDC. I started stacking mostly silver in an accredited depository. My question is, if there's a reset and replacement of the dollar, it seems that any redemptions of my metals will be made in the new digital currency, which I do not want. Sovereignty is completely compromised. What do you say about redeeming after the digital currency rollout? By the way, this would also impact those who take possession of their metals, because when redeemed for currency, I'm concerned this will be redeemed in the digital currency. Do you agree? Can you please comment on this dilemma? Excellent question and a thoughtful question. So I look at it two ways. One, I think you're right. So if you're going to switch from Brink's depository into the new system, it will be digitized. So now you're already in the system. You were out of it, now you're back in. The other thing is taking possession of it yourself, which I always recommend having some on hand. I mean, if you're a big investor, you probably should store it somewhere secure. I wouldn't store it in a bank, but as I said, if you want to store, just send me an email. But if you put it in your hands, then you have the option of using it directly. I mean, no one is going to stop using gold and silver, no matter what the CBDC or digital stablecoin looks like. There will always be a free market. Now, it will probably be called a black market. It will probably be called probably be unlawful. There is an expression you can agree with or not. I'm not saying I agree with it, although you probably could guess if I would agree with it or not, but just man disobeys unjust laws. If you're not free to own your own property, then are you a slave? So it is something that I agree with, that in most cases it would be digitized, especially if it's in a facility, especially if it's a Brinks or a Garda or one of the main depositories. If it's on any of the COMEX depositories, any of those places, I think in private vaults, you might have a chance to just go in and take it out on your own or have it shipped to you. But you're going to be taking a chance. But this is what you are going to have to decide on your own. I really have a better answer than that. That's the most truthful answer I can give. But it almost defeats the purpose. I mean, certainly, if the metals do what I expect them to do in the next 2 or 3 years, in terms of digital wealth, it will be higher. It will provide you more. It will. But in that transition, the authority figures could say, well, we're giving a windfall profits tax to all these silver stackers of, 40%. I don't know. Could happen. So it just remains to be determined. The other thing is the CBDC and or stablecoin actually going to be implemented? And the answer to that is we don't know yet. Obviously, we know what they want, but will it come about? And that is something that there could be an argument made that it won't be as easily obtained or, let's say, distributed or adopted, is my word, adopted as they think. Forget the number. I looked it up not long ago. My memory's pretty good. I think it's 1.6 billion people. Might be 1.2. I think it's over a billion out of 8 billion are unbanked. They don't have a bank account. They don't use a bank account. In fact, in some cases, they don't need a bank account nor even want a bank account. So to get everyone in the new system is going to be a bigger challenge than I think the authorities think it will be. Now, they're going to do their best effort to make sure that everybody gets the new system. The other part is, when will it take place? I mean, they're going to push this thing hard and fast, but doesn't mean it's going to be next year. I mean, how soon is it going to happen? I don't know. It could be further out than I think. I do think it's, you know, it's pretty much done in China. So that's kind of the test case, and it works well. There's very little resistance. Almost everyone in a city in China, which is probably about half the population or more, are totally on board with Tencent, WeChat, whatever they use for their payment system. Put a couple of those up on my Twitter account recently. And that's the model. That's the model that the banking authorities want on a global basis. So kind of beat that one for death. I'm looking for another question. Okay, one just came in. In the near future, do you foresee the amount of golden ounces you would need to purchase an average home? In the near future, I think residential real estate in most areas will drop. I think maybe 20% on average. So, you know, don't wait. Let me make a caveat I've made many times. I've been asked over the years several times, well, David, this house I really want to buy, it costs this amount. I love it, but you know, I want to keep stacking, and I'm wondering if we'll get a real estate pullback, and you know, can you give me some guidance? And I always say the same thing. If you find a house that you want and you can afford it, buy it. I mean, you cannot put a price on something that's priceless to you, your family, your psyche, your well-being, your idea of stability, the idea of owning something. So I would say, depending on, you know, if you're buying it for investment purposes or to live in, if you don't mind to live in and you could afford it, you know, you might wait a little bit because gold may go up 20% and the housing market goes down 20%. And that's a 40%, you know, differential, which is not half, but that's cutting the price down in gold terms quite a bit. So you might, you know, give it 6 months or something like that, see if I'm right or not. But truly, if you're wanting to buy something that you want, and, you know, especially if it's a first home, but even if it's a second home, and that I think is the best, you know, information I can give you. Because really, when you own your own place, it's priceless, especially if it's something you love. Really, and you fix it up and make your home and all that. So on to that. Next question. There are many predictions about the future price of gold. Some say 5,000, others say as high as 10,000. How do you think it'll go, and by when? I actually answered already. Maybe I did too subtly. I've said 5,000 in, I think, 2 years. And depending on so many variables, I mean, black swans, the war problems, political problems, rolling out a new system, perhaps. It could just, you know, shoot up and blow right through 5,000. On the other hand, if we get a deflationary environment, which we're actually entering, where we're producing less stuff, that means stuff costs more, but there's less of it. It's harder to get. And then tariffs put a higher price for everybody to buy it. And that's going toward a inflationary depression. And eventually a deflation. Almost all inflation is in the deflation at some point. You want to think about that. How safe are brokerage firms in a huge downturn? What if they collapse? They're not safe in a huge collapse. In a downturn, first of all, not to get people too worried. So a brokerage account is under the SIPC, not the FDIC. And they're insured to $500,000. So if your account's at $500,000 or less, you're pretty much assured that you're going to get your money, your stocks, the value of your account will be there if it's under 500,000. If it's above that, we really don't know for sure. If they fail, the SIPC and or Congress and or the banks will make you whole, I'm pretty certain. So it's not something to truly worry about. They will get bailed out one way or another. But the bigger question is really the great taking, which I'm going to be writing about in the next issue of the Morgan Report. Now, I've reestablished a connection with David Rogers Webb that wrote it. There's a movie about it. There's two movies about it, actually. If you haven't seen the second one, you should try to find it on a search engine and watch it. And they have gotten some pushback on it in Tennessee and I think South Carolina. And I'm going to, again, be writing about it for the April edition, which comes out next Monday. And I will be interviewing David Rogers Webb as well to kind of go through, you know, where we currently stand on that. But that's actually a bigger problem, but the biggest problem, the way I see it. In the great taking, basically what I said about banks, where your deposit is their money at law, in a brokerage account, your securities are, you have, I forget what it's called, it's not rights, but you have, I forget the word, you have your right to your security, but the ownership in a default of the, or a collapse of the system goes to the DTCC, this entity that holds all these stocks in electronic form. So it's something to be concerned about, but not overly concerned about it. Again, I'll be addressing it and pursuing it. And you take someone as well known and as with as much clout as Martin Armstrong, and Martin says it just won't happen. No matter what's on the books, you know, Trump would send in the army or something if that was attempted. And I'm not sure I agree with Martin. I'm not going to disagree. I would say I don't know, and he really doesn't know, but there is pushback on that, whether or not it could really take place, even though it's on the books. And the books are being changed on the state level. One thing I'll say about sovereignty, freedom, I have thought about this and I've written about it very slightly, but I really think that the states' rights in the United States are going to come to the fore more and more and more. Kind of saw it during the illness where some states said yes to masks, some said no, some say we're going to implement this, some said we're not. And you're going to see more and more of that, because if you read the Bill of Rights, the states really have superior rights to the district. It's been circumvented, and I know why, and it's a long story, and I'm not going to go into it, but the legal profession has circumvented the intent of the original Constitution by a lot, and they put a fictional state on top of the landmass that's a federal jurisdiction, like WA is the federal identifier for Washington State, and as long as you adhere to nexus that they've created during the 30s, you're actually a member of the district and not a member of where you were born, if you were born in Washington State, as an example. That's as far as it'll go. Getting a couple more questions. More questions, folks. What are the tax implications of selling gold and silver? I just got this one from a member. I don't give tax advice and I won't do it here. I did send them a link, and there is a in the membership site, and this is for free. You can find it for free. I just put some of the stuff on the member site just for convenience. But in the member site, there is tax consequences, I think, for both gold and silver. That's a PDF file that you can download and use as guidance. But that's about the best I can do. All I have to do is type that, what you asked me, into a search engine. You'll get a lot of links to look at. Hi, David. What impact, if any, will the government's announcement of establishing a BTC reserve have on precious metals? That one is a subjective answer. I can't give you a objective answer. But if you've gone to my blog and looked at any of the series that were 30 podcasts, the first few were between John Perez and myself discussing what we deem the crypto conspiracy. We talked a great deal about Bitcoin, couple of years ago. Those 30 podcasts are probably a couple of years old, I think, by now. Well over a year, I'm sure of that. So Bitcoin is definitely, and John's premise, and I agree with it, is that a lot of money that would have gone into gold and silver moved into Bitcoin. And at the time I did a study and wrote about in our premium service, I wanted to know, well, how big an effect did it have? And at that time, the gold market was 10 times bigger than the Bitcoin. So an order of magnitude. So did it have an effect? You bet. I mean, if you're looking at a $1 trillion Bitcoin market at the time, $1 trillion into the retail gold market would definitely move the needle. So, but it can't be measured exactly, but it does deter investment that would have gone into the precious metals. Now, silver, since it's a much smaller market, and we don't know, you know, we know kind of the amount of silver bought versus amount of gold bought. Let's just say it's half for talking purposes. No, if that half a trillion went in the silver market, have a huge effect because silver is such a small market. But so it's had an effect. How big, we really can't measure, but it's had some. Now, you asked a little bit different. You said, what impact, if any, will the government announcement of having a Bitcoin reserve have on the precious metals? I think metals look at, or markets look ahead. So it's already anticipated that. So I think it's already built into the market. Markets do move on news, but usually they anticipate the news. So I think it's already built into the cake. It might get a few latecomers to join the Bitcoin fan club. I don't know. Governments start buying it. Certainly can move the price higher. But I think most of the news is probably built into the price. Next question. What do you think about gold money as a way to store some gold offshore? I have an account there. I don't have much in it. Really, since James Turk is no longer running it, they've actually become a real estate company. If you look at their stock price, it's not doing that well. I don't like their balance sheet because they basically moved away from their original intent, exactly like Bitcoin. Bitcoin is supposed to be a peer-to-peer payment system outside of government control. Become anything but that. Gold money was basically, at one time, you could swap gold money. You could pay for a newsletter or, you know, send it to a friend or whatever. That's, those days are pretty much gone. I would look for other places. It's up to you. It's always up to you. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I still have some gold money, but it's probably the lowest gold holding that I have. Just not as convenient. I would look other places personally. Do you have advice on what percentage you suggest to have in precious metals, miners, cash, and bonds? Yes, when you join the premium service, the first thing you're urged to do is to watch a video and read the PDF called How to Use the Morgan Report. Again, these are guidelines. They're not etched in stone. You must put this much in silver. You must put this much in gold. And then you must put this much in this particular top tier stock. But they're guidelines. And the guidance is good, well thought out, and it does give you measurables. For example, after you've built enough gold and silver to your satisfaction, where do you go? Well, you go to the top tier cash rich, mostly royalty companies that do not have the inflationary concerns that a mining company has. And that's 70% of your portfolio. So I'm a big believer in blue chips and cash rich companies. You're going to buy a goose that lays a golden egg. You want to buy a goose that lays a golden egg. You don't want to go find a goose somewhere and hope that it's going to lay a golden egg. That's an exploration company. Now, we do some of that, but we do it at the bottom. So 70% goes in the top tier, 20% or so goes into mid-tier and maybe junior producers, and 10% at the most goes into highly speculative, high-risk, high-reward situations. And you spread it out, and if those stocks double, and many times we put them on the list, they do. So as soon as it doubles, you want to sell half and get your money back. So you put a $500 bet on a stock. You've got several shares because it's only 10 cents a share. It goes to 20 cents. You sell it. You get your money back. You've got free shares. It's called a free ride. Many people teach this. And then if the stock goes to zero, you haven't lost anything. The stock goes up. You can make whatever the amount of money is. If it really runs, he might be upset. Oh, I should have held the whole position. But believe me, in that genre, if you follow that advice, you'll do very, very well. Leach Viral Metal. I took it off the list after years. Any hope? I just wrote Wayne yesterday. They're still working. They're debt free, which helps. So that means they can kind of go on indefinitely as long as management's willing to work for next to nothing. I actually put a suggested contact for him for Foreign Viral Metal. That's a entity in Mexico that's working heavily on the recycling side, environmental waste, e-waste side, and it seemed pretty legit. So I sent that off yesterday. I still own some. I just can't take it anymore. It's one of the most trying, the most trying junior I ever got involved with. I mean, it's such a good thing to be able to relieve mines of cyanide and to recycle these metals. And there's so many positive benefits, but it just never caught on. It's such an old story, and they've had so many struggles financially. Just anyone that might be interested has heard the story and just doesn't really want to pay attention. There's always a possibility, but I took it off the list some time ago. What are the names of the movies based on Danger Rogers Webb's writings? I'm not going to go on and type them in. If you just type in The Great Taking into search engine, it'll bring you to the website. I'm sure from the website, the first movie's on there. I know that. And the second one, maybe. If it's not, then I type in what is David Rogers Webb's second documentary film called, or where is it located? You'll probably find it with the search engine. Well, there's another question. Okay, I'm considering becoming an expat to escape the building pandemonium in the USA. What advice can you give to get your metals out of the USA and into a safe location elsewhere? What are mistakes to avoid? Well, that's a great question, and it's a tough one because it's a lot harder to do than I thought. I've got a good friend that runs a major facility that's in Argentina, or he was. He's back in the States now with his family. I said, hey, I want to send my metal to Argentina. He said, don't bother. It's very difficult. And I don't want to call out Argentina, so let me just state it in a different way so I don't get anybody pestering me. But there are jurisdictions that if you mail in metal, it might end up in customs and not in your hands. I'll just say it that way. So you don't know in some jurisdictions. In some of those jurisdictions, it's better to buy it there. In a bank, for example, which some of the banks do actually have metal you can buy. But to move it in is extremely difficult. Now, if you're going to do it or try it, I would immediately work with the customs. I would just get on the website of whatever country it is and say, hey, I'm an American. I have some personal property. I wouldn't tell them metals right away. I just have some personal property. I want to guarantee shipment. What are the procedures? What's reportable? What isn't? And that's how I would do it. And if you got a green light all the way through and I was sending metal through and I was going to send 100,000 in metal, I would send 10,000 the first time, make darn sure it actually got there. I wouldn't divide it into tens and send 10, 10, 10, 10. But even if the 10 went through without a glitch, I'd probably break it up into threes and send 30, 40, and 10 or whatever. Just, it's really difficult. I didn't know this, by the way, until I learned it. So, the other thing you could do is you could keep it in any jurisdiction and buy and sell it and convert that USD into a currency of choice. You know, there's a facility that I use, Goldcorp. If you're interested in an Irish account, they still will take U.S. citizens. Send me an email, support at the Mormon Report, and type in offshore gold or something like that. And I'll connect you with folks at Goldcorp. You could just get on the Goldcorp website. If you want to use my name, great. But yeah, you just don't want to get to the airport with a bunch of metal and think you're going to cross a border and have it without a glitch. Now you can between like Canada and the US, and I've come back from Mexico with metal with no problem. Come back from Europe with metal with no problem. But in all those instances, I think the most metal I ever carried in one trip was the kilo coins from the Australian Mint are beautiful. They're about that big. I think I had three of them. So at the time, it might have been $1,000. And the people at the TSA really don't know what they're looking at. I mean, they know it's silver. I just told them it's artwork, which it is, and just put down artwork. But anyway, I over-answered that. But be careful. I'll just leave it at that. If you have more questions, you can send me an email and I might think deeper about it. If gold spikes real high, government will devalue like Nixon did. What do you think? I doubt it. Could. I won't say you're wrong. I'm not saying I'm right and you're wrong. That's not what I'm about. But I don't think so. There's too many people like yourself out there that know what's really going on. And, you know, with the Bitcoin reserve and all the government's trying to get out of their debt, I think it's more likely that they would leave it and revalue it at a high number and use it as backing of maybe an internal dollar where the gold or an external dollar. For years, and this hasn't been discussed in a long time, many in the financial independent newsletter writing business or financial newsletters wrote about a two-tier dollar where to prevent all these dollars that are overseas rushing in the United States and causing hyperinflation, that they'd have a two-tier dollar system where they'd have an interior dollar used in the continental U.S., Hawaii, and Canada, or Alaska, and an external dollar used everywhere outside the United States as kind of a currency control. That is a possibility. No one's really talked about that in a long time. Do I think that will happen? It's doubtful, but it's a consideration. So, okay, question 14. Do you think there will come a time when gold and silver will be classified as money as opposed to collectibles? Absolutely. And in some states, that's the case. But of course, as I said, there's a federal overlay on top of all the states, which makes federal jurisdiction by their legal finagling. So you could be in a situation where at the state level, you can use it as money without any problem in some states. And then at the federal level, you're subject to whatever they deem at the time, which right now it's deemed a collectible. There may be a special classification for U.S. minted coins. Mike Maloney talks about that. I tried to find it. I couldn't find it. I'm not sure. I don't want to mislead you. But some people have stated that. I haven't seen it. Do you think capital controls will start at some point? Oh boy, I think there's about a 10 to 20% chance that they will. So there's an 80 or 90% chance that they won't. But I think it's a fairly, it's a possibility, definitely. I mean, just the tariff thing alone, you could make an argument that's justified. I mean, you look at what the tariffs are for the United States for us shipping goods out, you know, what kind of tariffs there are on our automobiles going to Europe or what we send to Canada or whatever. But the old adage, two wrongs don't make a right. I mean, I don't feel it's a good idea personally, but you know, as far as is there justification for it, I'd say, yeah, there probably is. But due to that, the more you start to use protectionist tactics, the more that trend will stay in place. And the more that trend stays in place, the greater the possibility of capital controls come into play. I'll leave it at that. How high can silver go? That's a good question. We have a document in the member section. The gentleman that wrote the Jerome Smith newsletter, I met online. He's a great guy, great thinker. And he actually wrote $200 silver. It's on our website, not the free part. And he made that prediction a long, long time ago. My number is 100, but once we get above 50, depending on the economic conditions and what's happening in the global financial / monetary system, really hard to say. There's over $5 trillion in money markets, basically, ready cash. So 1% of that is $50 billion. $50 billion buys up the entire silver market for a year and a half. And if you don't think under dire straits that 1% of the money that's out there won't move into silver, I've got a bridge to sell you in Brooklyn. I really think that that kind of money could, not would, but could pour into the metals, silver and gold. And with that kind of scared money, which is only 1% moving into silver, that's a lot of cash going, you know, that's a fire hose shooting into a thimble. I mean, so I still think that there's a number that could be very large. Thing we need to keep in mind is rather than a paper price, which I'm answering, we want to value it in terms of what will that ounce of gold buy? What will that ounce of silver buy? What does an ounce of silver buy relative to the oil market or the sugar market or the housing market? Or a business, or the stock market, for example. And when you get those metrics, and they're more in line with the historic standards or the historic averages, that's when you'll know if gold is fair priced or overpriced. And we're way, way far away from those valuations, right? Do you have a favorite royalty company? I've favored Silver Wheaton from the beginning. I like Franco-Nevada. I had Royal Gold on there. I took it off because Franco's similar. Royal's actually done a little bit better. Those are three that you could play with. I mean, those are the top tier. They're the main players. They're blue chips. You really can't go wrong with any of those. Are you familiar with Discovery Silver? Yes, which has had a big run. I don't follow it that closely to know. Okay. A lot of these do. They get a good drill result, or a fund comes in and buys a bunch and it drives the price up momentarily. But I can't comment further than that. I love the concept, but when I ask miners, they never respond as they never heard of e-waste, toxic cyanide in our water, permitting problems does not have any currency. Thanks for the answer. You're a great guy. Yeah, it's sad. It just is. I mean, it's too bad there isn't someone with a bunch of cash in the mining business that just wants to buy out EnviroMetal and take it, you know, get a real bargain, you know, 10 cents on the dollar or whatever. Shareholders at least would get something and maybe stock in the new company built from there. Why do you think silver is not outperforming gold yet? Any idea what might be the trigger for this to occur? Yeah, my take is that silver was demonetized long ago. Most of the people younger than me, and I'm getting up there in age, never really think of silver as a monetary asset, although it is, but not to the degree that gold is. Gold is an establishment metal. The bankers buy gold. They own gold. They accumulate gold. They're building their gold position. If silver had a monetary aspect to it and the central bankers wanted silver as a monetary base, the price would have to be close to the ratio. It'd have to be like 10 to 1, you know, 10 ounces of silver by an ounce of gold, not 90. They have to run to about 9-fold from where it is now. So take 9, multiply 30, it's $270 silver. If it was that price, it could be used as money. But at this price, you couldn't pay the wages of all wage earners in the United States for one day at $30 silver. You'd run out. I mean, that's how valuable it is or undervalued it is. So what catalyst? Well, obviously, if there's a default on the COMEX, there's never technically a default because it can settle in cash. But it failed to deliver to a big entity and the word gets out. In other words, the entity says, okay, I'll take the cash and keep their mouth shut instead of the silver that they want. If that were to occur, I think that would be one catalyst. Same thing with the LBMA, either one of those entities. So a failure to deliver coming in or out of the COMEX or the LBMA. And there are other things. Just retail buying can move it up, and institutional buying is what really will drive it. When we saw 2020, when Guggenheim Investment probably bought a lot of silver through the ETF, ETFs, we saw a pretty good rise in the silver price. That position went away. It was sold back in the market. I'll move on. Next question. What do you see for future agriculture? I really like it. I think, food is going to be harder and harder to get because of disruptions in supply chains, the war situation. I'm not a big climate change proponent, but climate does change all the time. And it seems like whether you believe there's a Maunder minimum coming up or not, there is changes taking place. I mean, the magnetosphere, for example, has changed greatly. And there's a potential pole shift. I'm not sure. I think that it has happened. I don't think it's imminent. But the magnetic pole is creeping at a faster and faster rate. You're not aware of that. So I'm big on it. I mean, I was asked this a long time ago by one of our members, and I suggested they buy ADM. Philosophically, I'm not real fond of the company, but as a hedge against food prices, it was a great one. And many of our members bought that, and they did quite well because it's not gone, it's not a Bitcoin. It's a company that's in the food industry in a big way. And it definitely has kept up with the actual inflation rate, which is, as you know, far, far higher than what the government has told us it is. So I'm getting near the end. Guaranteed I do 45 minutes. It could go as long as an hour. And I'll keep going. We got like 10 more minutes and then I'm going to close down. Risk of gold and silver confiscation going forward, similar to what FDR did in the 1930s. It's possible. I really doubt it. I've not changed my position from when I got on the internet in 98. The chances are just really, really against confiscation. I mean, first of all, if it wasn't really confiscated, that's rule number one. People that had gold and turned it in were compensated for it at the going rate, and then the rate was changed thereafter, as we all know. But they didn't come and take your gold away from you without compensation. So confiscation is used. I've used the word many times, but truly, it was nationalized, not confiscated. So the similar thing would happen here. They wouldn't come in and take your gold at gunpoint. Give me your gold. They would compensate you in digital currency or Federal Reserve notes or whatever. But I don't think it'll happen. If it were to occur, a lot of people that had gold did not turn it in the 30s. They just kept their mouth shut. And really the story is many of those people took their gold coins and stuck them in a coffee can, put the lid on it, and buried it in the backyard. And to go a step further, where woman of the household could see where it was, not that it'd be on top of the ground, but planted by a tree or whatever, keep an eye on it, so to speak. If they were to confiscate or nationalize it, I think it would be the ETFs, where it's easy to get to, and they might just leave the people alone. That would be more likely than asking people to turn it in, although, again, that's possible. And on silver, silver is a situation where we are eating above ground supply the last 4 years. That will, as far as I can tell, that will continue at 200 to 300 million ounces a year for the next several years. Could get to the point where silver becomes a strategic metal for the war effort. And in that case, it might not be nationalized. It might be requested for silver bulls to sell their silver at perhaps a premium where, hey, look, if you give us your silver for, 10% above spot and you don't have to pay any taxes on it, we need it to build out the new missile system. You have 30 days to take advantage of this tax-free once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Would they do that? I don't know, but certainly I wouldn't rule it out. There is silver is much more valuable than gold as far as use cases are concerned. I mean, gold's use is good for jewelry and money, really. Yeah, they use gold on the astronauts' helmets and a few places in the industry, but it's not nearly as useful as silver, of course, we all know. Former subscriber, I've been holding my wealth since 1986. I'm 68. Would now be a good time to take some profit? Yeah, it would. If so, how much profit? Where would you put the profit this time? Well, I cannot give individual advice, so let me just say it in a general way. First of all, what do you want? You know, I mean, if you've got everything you need and everything you want, then where are you going to put it? I wouldn't put it in the stock market. I wouldn't put it in the bond market. You know, you're probably retired or close to it or semi-retired. So I wouldn't suggest a business. But if you have kids and they want to start a business, well, capitalize them or you know, partly capitalize them. You know, if you want to travel the world, never done it, do that. I mean, you know, you earned it. You know, use it the way you see fit is my general guidance. I mean, you know, to sit on a pile of gold or silver or fiat or whatever, you know, it's maybe nice to look at a number, but, you know, what's it really doing for you? What do you want to do with it? You know, if you've got everything going and you're, you know, pretty darn well off, you know, you can start a foundation. You can say, look, I want to start education on sound money principles and why money is important, but not the most important thing in the human experience. And here's why. If you want to send some of a donation to my documentary, I'll accept it, although I'm not asking for it. But as far as what's the best place to put it at this time, there's really nothing undervalued in the market. I don't see real estate as undervalued other than commercial real estate. Now, if there were some warehouses or something like that in your area that were, you know, half price or something, I would take a look at that. But outside of commercial real estate, I can't think of anything really undervalued. So, you know, and I would say I wouldn't want to put a lot of cash in the bank right now with the banking problems we see. So certainly take some profit. You know, I'd just spend it, you know, spend on something that you want, get that new truck you always wanted, or gift somebody that you love, or that type of thing. I heard you say when you exit silver, we'll do it in tranches. Could you please clarify amounts you would sell as silver rises significantly in price? I can't do it ahead of time. I'd have to do it as it takes place to do my best for subscribers. But there is I think there's a place where gold's going to stall out, and I might sell as much as 50%. And if I'm wrong, I'm only half wrong, and you've got the rest to ride up. If I'm right, you're half right, and as it starts coming down further, you put a stop loss in and sell at a lower price. And wow, David called a top again. Not saying I can. I've been lucky or skillful or a little of both so far, but that certainly doesn't guarantee the next time. There's a lot of that outlined in our book, Second Chance, by David Smith and myself. There's about three or four different cases made on how to exit and some strategies. If you exit too early, how to get back in with minimum risk. It's called the sacrifice fly. And definitely for whatever, $20, whatever that book sells for, I would buy it if you're interested in getting more in depth of how to exit in tranches. How do capital controls affect foreign stocks? Well, it depends on what they do with the capital controls. If they say all U.S. money stays in the U.S. and you can't buy foreign companies, well, that just means your foreign stocks can't be bought anymore. The ones that you own, you probably could keep. But it could go as far as saying you got to, you know, sell your foreign stocks. I don't know if they could get that nasty or not. I mean, what governments can do these days, who could say? But no, it could be where, you know, there is no ability as an American to buy foreign companies because capital controls are implemented in such a way that says no foreign purchases, no foreign, not only stocks, but perhaps bonds. You can only buy U.S. treasuries. You cannot buy funds or any of the other foreign jurisdictions that have a bond market. Again, I gave it about a 10%, 20 at the most, but again, you can't rule that out. So we've got about three more minutes. Thanks for bringing the questions. They've all been really good. Hopefully I've been of value to you all. It's my intent. So this will be the last questions. Other countries have started accumulating silver in addition to gold. Do you think the U.S. will follow suit? And if so, what would the impact be? Well, the impact would be depending on how much that they buy. And U.S. used to have, even though Jeff Christian disagrees with me, it used to be called the Strategic Silver Reserve. Pretty sure I could prove that on the web, but I don't want to be petty. But Russia's done it. It's the only one, to my knowledge, that has done it and announced it. I think the U.S. should start now. I really do. Not for monetary purposes, but for strategic purposes, for military purposes, for solar purposes, for water purification purposes, for medical purposes. For a lot of really important purposes, we should have that metal. And again, the impact would be if they buy a little, it wouldn't really have much impact. They bought a lot. Yeah, of course it would move the market. So I'm going to go ahead and sign out. There's a lot of free information on here. Consultations are there. Member options are there. We have three different memberships. And then the blog is here. And this is all for free. And I do a lot. And then the quick icons here. Go to our YouTube channel, Twitter feed. I usually post on Twitter like every day. If you want to know what I'm saying, you want to go, want to click the icon there. And this came from my friend Bob. He talked about massive decline in open interest in the front month. Gold futures contract decline of 87,000, almost 88,000 contracts. Some of this could be roll, however, looking for physical deliveries out of the registered category near term. And I wrote a comment on that. I stated in yesterday's alert to premium members. I said, look for a roll out in future months. The number of times the community has gotten excited about delivery and making a difference is huge, but the times it has happened are next to none. It's almost always when you get these big open interests right next to delivery, the delivery deadline, these paper contracts roll into more paper, not in the physical standing. I'll leave it at that. I appreciate all of you, free members or paid, either way. Still have a passion for what I do. Doing my best to teach and empower people to understand the benefits of an honest financial system. And this is David Morgan signing out.